Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novick. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Ishut Perek Zayin. This long perek continues the discussion begun in the last perek about Tanaim in the context of Kiddushin. The last perek explained the general principles about Tanaim, which apply in other areas of Halacha as well, including Gerushin and monetary matters like sales or gifts. Our perek addresses a wide variety of Tanaim, which come up specifically in cases of Kiddushin, as well as similar cases in which the effect of the Kiddushin, the start of the marriage, and the designation of the woman as an Eshet Ish, is delayed to some later time after the act of Kiddushin is over. Even among the cases, which seem at first glance to be examples of a Tanai, there may be another concept at work, as we'll explain when we get to Halacha Chet. Halacha Aleph. Ha'omer li'isha, harei at mikudeshet li al menat shirtze avi. Ratza ha'av mikudeshet. Lo ratza o sheshatak o shemeit kodem shishma hadavar eina mikudeshet. Al menat shel yimche avi, shama u'micha eina mikudeshet. Lo micha o shemeit, harei zo mikudeshet. Meit haben v'achar kach shama ha'av, melamdin et ha'av shiomar eini rotze, kidei shelo yusham kiddushin v'lo tipol lifnei avam. Suppose a man is mekadesh a woman with the tanai of almanat, on condition that my father approves of the marriage. If the father expresses approval, then she is mekudeshet. If he disapproves or is silent, or if he dies before hearing about the marriage, then she isn't mekudeshet because he never expressed approval. But if the tanai is almanat that my father not protest the marriage, meaning that the kiddushin is effective unless the father actively protests, then if the father is silent or dies before hearing about the marriage, she is mekudeshet, because the father never protested. In the second case of almanat, my father not protests, if the husband dies and only afterwards the father hears about the kiddushin, we encourage the father to protest. In this manner, the kiddushin were never effective, and therefore the wife is not a widow, and she is exempt from having to undergo yibum or chalitza. Halacha bet. Ha'omer li'isha, harei et mekudeshet li baze almanat sheyesh li 200 zuz, o beit kor afar, im yesh sham edim sheyesh lo, harei zo mekudeshet, v'im ein lo, harei zo mekudeshet misafek, shema yesh lo v'hu omer ein li kedei lekalkala. If a man is mekadesh a woman on condition that he possesses 200 zuz, or a field large enough to grow a kor of grain, a large amount weighing somewhere between 200 and 350 kilograms, and he cannot physically show the woman this money or field, then the din depends on whether there are witnesses. If there are edim that he has this item, then she's mikudeshet. But if there aren't edim, she is suffik mikudeshet, even if he insists that he does not, in fact, have 200 zuz or a field large enough to grow a kor of grain. The reason that she is suffik mikudeshet is our concern that the man is actively trying to hurt the woman by leading her to believe that she isn't halachically married when in reality she is. If she then marries someone without a get, the consequences could be terrible for her and her children. So he must give her a get before she marries anyone else. The next three halachot are variations of this type of tanai of on condition that I have such and such. We skip the details and proceed to halacha vav. Ha'omer li'isha, harei et mekudeshet li baze al menat she'ein alayich nidarim, v'nimtza aleha echad mishlosha nidarim elu, shelo tuchal basar, o shelo tishte yayin, o shelo titkashet b'minei tzivonin, eina mekudeshet, v'nimtza aleha neder chutz me'elu, af api she'omer makpira ni afilu al ze, harei zo mekudeshet. V'im amar la al menat she'ein alayich kol neder, afilu nimtzeit shenadra shelo tuchal charuvin, eina mekudeshet. If a man is mekadesh a woman on condition that she is not bound by any nedarim that she previously made, the assumption is that he is referring specifically to three nedarim that a husband is typically makbid about: not to eat meat, not to drink wine, and not to wear nice colored clothing. The reason he is makbid on the first two is that these nedarim are inui nefesh, self-affliction, and if she is bound by one of these nedarim, then it will presumably restrict the amount of meat and wine in the home. The reason he is makbid on the third neder is that he wants his wife to be able to dress nicely. So, if she is found to have made one of these three nedarim, then she isn't mekudeshet. But if she is found to have made a different neder, then she is mekudeshet, even if the husband claims to be makbid on that neder too. Even if this is true, we interpret his Tanai at the time of the Kiddushin in the manner that it is usually meant. However, if the formulation of his Tanai was Al Menat She'en Alayich Kol Neder, on condition that you have no Neder upon you at all, then she isn't Mekudeshet if she is bound by any Neder, even a seemingly insignificant one, like a Neder not to eat carob. Halacha Zayin. Harayet Mekudeshet Li Bazeh Al Menat She'en Bach Mumin, Nimtza Ba'echad Min HaMumin Ha'Poslim Banashim, Eina Mekudeshet, Nimtza Ba'Mum Acher, Chutz Me'otan HaMumin, Af HaPi She'amar Makpid Ani Afilu Al Zeh, Haray Zo Mekudeshet. If a man is Mekadesh a woman, on condition that she has no physical blemishes, mumin, then in similar fashion to the last case about Nedarim, this is assumed to refer only to a specific set of mumin, the mumin ha-poslin banashim, the blemishes in a wife about which a husband is usually makbid, and not to others. Even if she is found to have some other mum, and the husband claims to be makbid on it, she is still Mekudeshet. The rest of the halacha lists the mumin ha-poslin banashim. They include all the mumin which disqualify a kohen from working in the Beit HaMikdash. We'll learn about those when we get to Hilchot Biat Mikdash, as well as some others like body odor, bad breath, excessive sweat, and a very deep voice. Halacha chet. Hamekadesh isha stam nimtza ba echad min ha-mumin ha-poslin banashim o nimtza aleha echad mishlosha nedarim harei zo mekudeshet misafek. If a man is Mekadesh a woman without any stipulation, and she is subsequently found to have one of the Mumin HaPoslim Banashim, or one of the three Nedarim that a husband is usually Makbid on, then she is Safek Mekudeshet, as the husband may have implicitly meant to condition the Kiddushin on the absence of these Nedarim and these Mumin. We note that though the entire discussion in this perek has centered on Tanaim, this halacha indicates that we've introduced a new concept. There was no Tanai made here at all, yet the woman is only Safek Mekudeshet because of an implicit condition which the husband was thinking. There is a concept in halacha of Mekach Ta'ut, a mistaken transaction. For example, someone buys a car thinking it is new, and it turns out to be 10 years old. Assuming he had some legitimate reason to believe the car was new, like if he was misled into believing it, the purchase is a Mekach Ta'ut, as in, and is entirely void. This happens even if the buyer didn't make an explicit tanai that the car was new. A kiddushin can also be a mekach ta'ut, like in this case, where the man had no reason to believe that the woman had a problematic neder or mum. The question of the relationship between tanaim and ta'ut is one which is extensively discussed by Rishonim and Achronim. We won't elaborate on it further, but at the beginning of the next perek, which is entirely devoted to cases of ta'ut in Kiddushin, we will talk briefly about what seems to be the approach of the Rambam to these two concepts. Continuing in Halacha Chet, Kidsha al-Menat she'en aleha nidarim, v'hayu aleha nidarim, v'halcha eitzel chacham v'hitirla, harezo mekudeshet. Kidsha al-Menat she'en ba'mumin, v'hayu ba'mumin, v'halcha eitzel rofei v'ripeota, eina mekudeshet. These cases go back to a situation from the last halachot where there is an explicit condition against mumin or nedarim. If it turns out that she has nedarim, but later does hatarat nedarim, then she's mekudeshet. But if it turns out that she has mumin, and later she gets them medically removed, then she still isn't mekudeshet. One possible explanation for the difference between these two cases is fundamental. Hatarat nedarim uproots the neder from its point of origin, so that retroactively, she was not bound by any neder at the time of the Kiddushin. On the other hand, the medical treatment of mumim removes them only from that point onward. Since the mumim were present at the time of the Kiddushin with a tanai against mumim, she still isn't Nekudeshet. However, as nice as this distinction sounds, the Rambam implies in the last part of Halacha Tet that the distinction between hatarat nedarim and medical removal of mumim is more of a technical one. The listener is invited to look at that independently. We'll move on now to the middle of Halacha Yud. Harayan mekudeshet li bezuzim elu lachar shloshim yom, af al pishni taklu hamaot betoch shloshim yom, harezo mekudeshet lachar ha-shloshim. Din chazar bo betoch ha-shloshim o chazra hi, eina mekudeshet. A man can be mekadesh a woman, but delay the effect of the kiddushin until a later point in time, say 30 days hence. If he uses Kiddushe Kesef, then the Kiddushin takes effect 30 days later, even if the woman has used the money in the interim. The Ramah believes, however, that if the method of Kiddushin was a shtar, then the Kiddushin takes effect after 30 days only if the shtar is still in existence at that point. During the 30-day period between the act of Kiddushin and the effectiveness of the Kiddushin, each side can retract and cancel the Kiddushin. Similarly, Halacha Yud Aleph adds, if the woman accepts Kiddushin from someone else during the 30-day period, she is Mekudeshet to the second person, and remains so even after the end of the 30 days. In summary, when the effectiveness of the Kiddushin is delayed by 30 days, then it only takes effect at that point if both sides are still interested and still available then. Halacha Yud Bet. Ha'omer l'isha, harayet mekudeshet li me'achshav l'achar 30 yom bedinar ze, uva acher v'kidsha betoch ha-30, haray zo mekudeshet misafek lishnehem. L'fichach shnehem notnim get, bein betoch ha-30 yom, bein l'achar ha-30 yom. What if the Kiddushin was not made la'achar 30 yom, as in halachot yud and yud aleph, but rather me'achshav u'la'achar 30 yom, from now and only after 30 days? What does this self-contradictory phrase even mean? There are two possibilities. Either it is a form of tenai, I am mekadesh you me'achshav, from now, on condition that I don't change my mind within 30 days. Or it means that the man was chozerbo, he changed his mind mid-sentence. At first he wanted to be mekadesh immediately, me'achshav, then decided to delay the start of the kiddushin by 30 days. The major difference between these two possibilities is that if the first one is true, the Tanai, then the Kiddushin, when it takes effect, is retroactive to the start of the 30 days. While if the second understanding is true, Chazara, then it is not. Then it only takes effect after 30 days. Therefore, if someone else is Mekadeshur during the 30 days, she is Safek Mekudesha to both of them, because we don't know which interpretation of this person's statement is the correct one, and so both must give a get before she can marry someone else. Continuing in Halacha Yud Bet, Hareyat Mekudeshet Li Me'achshav L'Achar 30 Yom, Uva Acher V'Amar La Hareyat Mekudeshet Li Me'achshav L'Achar 20 Yom, Uva Acher V'Amar La Hareyat Mekudeshet Li Me'achshav L'Achar 10 Yamim, Afilu Hein Me'a Al HaSeder Hazeh Kiddushei Kulan Tov Simba, Uchvicha Get Mikol Echad V'Echad Mipnei Shei Mekudeshet L'Kulan B'Safek. Suppose that a man is mekadesh a woman me'achshav and after 30 days. Then a second man is mekadesher me'achshav and after 20 days. Then a third man is mekadesher me'achshav and after 10 days. This can continue with more men. Each one is mekadesher me'achshav and after some smaller amount of time than the man before. Then she is suffik mekudeshet to all of them and requires a get from each one. Why? Because for each man, we aren't sure if his intent was tenai or chazara, the two possibilities we explained in the first half of the halacha. If one man meant tenai and all the others meant chazara, then she ends up mikudeshet to that man which meant tenai, because his kiddushin are retroactive and all the others were only meant to take effect later. Since this may be the case for each of the men who was mekadesher, that he meant tenai but the others all meant chazara, she needs a get from each man. Halacha Yud Gemo. Ha'omer li'isha, harayet mekudeshet li chutz miploni, klamar shelo te'aser alav, ela tiye eshet ish al kol ha'olam, v'lifloni kifnuya, haray zo safek mekudeshet. Avalim amar la, harayet mekudeshet li almenat, sheti muteret laploni, haray zo mekudeshet, v'tiye asura al oto ploni kesha'ar ha'am, mipnei shitna b'davar she'i efshar lekaimo. Is it possible for a man, call him Reuven, to mekadesh a woman chutz miploni, meaning the kiddushin is simply meaningless vis-a-vis a certain specific individual, Shimon, and she remains permitted to Shimon, and obviously also to her husband Reuven, but forbidden to everyone else? The Rambam writes that she is safek mekudeshet in this case. Other Rishonim, quoted by the Nosei Kalim on the Shulchan Aruch, believe that she isn't mekudeshet at all, because the essence of Kiddushin is for the woman to become forbidden to all men, except for her husband. And therefore, Kiddushin chutz miploni is a meaningless oxymoron. But if Reuven phrases this heter to Shimon as a tenai, he is mekadeshur almanat, that she is permitted to Shimon, then this violates the fourth of the Mishpatei HaTanayim, that a tenai must be possible to fulfill. Because once Reuven is mekadesher, without the addition of chutz, she cannot possibly be permitted to any man but Reuven. Therefore, as we learned in the last perek, the tenai is null and void, she is mekudeshet immediately to Reuven, and she is forbidden to Shimon. We proceed to the second half of Halacha Yud Dalet.
Ha'omer le'isha, hariat mekudeshet li bazeh, lachar she'etgayer, lachar she'titgayri, lachar she'eshtachrer, lachar she'tishtachri, lachar she'amut ba'alech, lachar she'tamut achotech, eina mekudeshet, v'pnei she'eino yachol ata lekadsha. When one side of a potential kiddushin, the man or the woman, is incapable for reasons of personal status to be mekadesh or to become mekudeshet, like if one side is a non-Jew, a slave, or if the woman is married to someone else, then the man cannot be mekadesh the woman and delay the start of the marriage to whenever the issue is resolved, by conversion, being freed, or divorce. This is not like the case of lachar shloshim yom from Halacha Yud, because in that case, the kiddushin could in theory take effect immediately, but in this case, it cannot, because one or both of the sides is currently excluded completely from the possibility of kiddushin. The fundamental problem here is that a kinyan cannot be done when the person or object on which it is meant to apply, or the person who is supposed to carry it out, is a davar shelo ba la'olam, something or someone who does not yet exist in a state which is relevant for the kinyan. Halacha Tetvav gives a variation of this type of case in which the din is kiddushei safek, and we continue to Halacha Tetzayin. Ha'omer l'chaveiro, im yalda ishtacha nekeva, harehi mekudeshet li baze, lo amar klum, v'imaita eshet chaveiro meuberet, v'hukar ha'ubar, harezo mekudeshet, v'yera'e li shetzarich lachzor ulekadesh ota me'aviya achar shetivaled, kedei sheyichnos ota bekidushin she'ein behen dofi. If a man says to his friend, if your wife gives birth to a girl, I hereby am mekadesh her by giving you this money now, then this is meaningless. Because, similar to the cases in Halacha Yudalid that we just read, but in more extreme form, there is no one to be mekadesh yet. But if his friend's wife is pregnant and has reached the stage of hukar ha'ubar, the fetus is recognizable, meaning that his friend's wife is noticeably pregnant. In Halacha, this is generally taken to be 3 months into the pregnancy. Then the kiddushin is valid. But the Rambam adds, prefaced by Yeraeli, to indicate that he doesn't have a clear source of this in Chazal, that the man must do kiddushin again by giving money to the father after the baby is born, in order to marry the baby with kiddushin about which there is no doubt. An uncommon phrasing in the Rambam. The Ravid rejects this entire halacha as following the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, who believes that Adam makne davar shelo ba le'olam, as the unborn fetus is considered a davar shelo ba le'olam. The Shulchan Aruch accepts the opinion of the Ravid that it is impossible to be mekadesh a fetus. In his Perush HaMishnayot and Masechet Kiddushin, the Rambam explains that we are machmir to consider the fetus enough of a davar shebaal la'olam that it can become mekudeshet from the moment that the pregnancy reaches the stage of hukar ha'ubar. But since this is only a chumrah, a second kiddushin is required after birth in order to follow the more mainstream opinion that a fetus is a davar shelo baal la'olam. Halacha Yud Zayin discusses a case in which a man is mekadesh a woman for a certain stated amount of money, like mea dinar, and gives her only part of the money, one dinar, on the spot. In this case, she is mekudeshet, because the first dinar is considered to be the kesef kiddushin, while the rest of the money is a retroactive tanai. It's as if he said, I mekadesh you now with this dinar, al menat that I will pay you a full 100 dinar. Recall that the formulation of almanat implies the retroactive effectiveness of the tanai. However, if he says that he is mekadesher with mea dinar elu, these 100 dinar, and begins to put money into her hand, then the kiddushin does not take effect until he gives her the full amount. Both sides may pull out until that point, and if any of the 100 dinar are found to be missing or made of copper instead of silver, then she isn't mekudeshet. Halacha Yudchet. Amar la, hareat mekudeshet li bivgadim elu, shein shavin 50 dinar, vayu shel meshi, vachayotse behen, shahisha mitava lehen. Im hayu shavim 50, harezu mekudeshet mishat likicha, veinan tzrichin shuma bashuk, vachar kach tia mekudeshet, kedei shetismoch da'ata. Ela ho'il vehein shavim kishamar la, harezu mekudeshet misha'a rishona, vimeinan shavin eina mekudeshet. Some background to this halacha. If a woman accepts kiddushei kesef, assuming that the kesef kiddushin is worth a certain amount, and it turns out to be worth much less, then we cannot be sure that she would have agreed to marry for the smaller amount. And we are therefore concerned that this is a case of mekach ta'ut. This halacha says that if a man is mekadesh a woman with special silk clothing and tells her that they are worth a certain amount, 50 dinar, then as long as he knows that the clothes are worth 50 dinar, the kiddushin are valid, and it is not necessary to get them professionally evaluated in advance, just so the woman can know their value before the kiddushin. This din appears in the Gemara, specifically in the context of silk clothing, but the Rambam applies the same principle to anything of value. Other Rishonim disagree and understand the Gemara differently. Silk clothing is easy to evaluate, and so the woman agrees to the Kiddushin even without a professional evaluation in advance. But if the Kiddushin Kesef is something which is harder to evaluate, like gemstones, then the woman isn't serious about agreeing to the Kiddushin unless they are evaluated in advance and she knows how much they are worth. There are two common customs which derive from this halacha, the way most other Rishonim understand it. The Shulchan Aruch writes that we do not use for Kiddushin a ring with a precious stone in it, which may require professional evaluation, but rather a ring of pure metal. Also, the Ramah writes that the Eidei Kiddushin are asked before the Kiddushin to confirm that the ring is worth a pruta, so that the woman agrees that even in the event that the ring is worth a pruta and no more, she consents to the Kiddushin and does not condition her agreement to a certain minimum value of the Kesef Kiddushin. Halacha Chaf. Ha'useh shaliach lekadesh lo isha, ve'alach ha'shaliach v'kidsha al tanai, eina mekudeshet. V'chein im amar lo lekadsha al tanai, ve'alach v'kidsha stam, o al tanai acher, o sheshina et ha'tanai, eina mekudeshet. If a man appoints a shaliach to be mekadesh a woman to him, then the shaliach must carry out the kiddushin according to the instructions of the mishaliach. If the mishaliach wants to be mekadesher without any tanai, then the shaliach has no right to add one. And if the mishaliach wants the kiddushin to be stipulated on a certain tanai, then the shaliach has no right to change it, or to be mekadesher with no tanai at all. If the shaliach deviates from the instructions of the mishaliach in any of these ways, then the woman isn't mekudeshet. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Amarlo, kadsha li b'makom ploni, halach v'kidsha b'makom acher, eina mekudeshet. Kidsha li, v'harei hi b'makom ploni, v'halach v'kidsha b'makom acher, harei zo mekudeshet, mipnei shemarei makom hulo. V'chein hi shamra li shtucha, kabel li kidushai b'makom ploni, v'kiblam la b'makom acher, eina mekudeshet. Harei haba b'makom ploni, v'kibel la b'makom acher, harei zo mekudeshet, mipnei shemarei makom hilo. If the mishaleach tells the shaliach to be mekadesh the woman in a certain place, and he is mekadesh her elsewhere, the kiddushin are invalid because the shaliach did not follow the mishaleach instructions. But if the mishaleach only said something like, you can find her in such and such place, then she is mekudeshet wherever the kiddushin took place, because the mishaleach was merely directing the shaliach to find her and was not makbid that the kiddushin take place specifically in that location. Everything in this halacha is equally true of a shaliach made by the woman to receive her kiddushin. Halacha Chaf Bet. Ha-mekadesh et ha-isha, v'chazar bo miyad, hu o hi, af api shechazru b'toch kidei dibur, ein chazaratam klum, v'arei hi mekudeshet. Even though halacha usually has a time period of toch kidei dibur, a few seconds after something is said or done, in which it is possible to withdraw one's consent or change one's mind, this does not apply to kiddushin. The kiddushin remain valid even if one of the sides wishes to retract within toch kidei dibur. This comes from a Gemara in Masechet Nedarim, and the Ran explains there that this is due to the very serious nature of kiddushin. A man is only mekadesh a woman, and a woman only agrees to be mekudeshet after seriously considering the matter in advance. Therefore, there is no need to give any additional time after the kiddushin for either side to retract its consent. Halacha Chaf Gimel. Ha-mekadesh al tanai, v'chazar achar kam yamim uvitel ha-tanai, af al pi shebitlo beino leveina shol bifnei edim, batal ha-tanai, v'harehi mekudeshet stam. V'chein im haya ha-tanai min ha-isha, uvitla oto achar kein beino leveina, batal ha-tanai. Lefichach, ha-mekadesh al tanai, v'chanas stam o ba'al stam, harei zo tzricha get af al pi shalom nitkeim ha-tanai, shema bitel ha-tanai kishaba'al o kishakanas. When one side imposes a tanai on the kiddushin, it retains the right to cancel the tanai at any time and allow the kiddushin to proceed in its absence. This can be done even without edim. Therefore, if the man stipulated a tanai in the kiddushin and then did the Nisuin without mentioning any Tanai, then we have reason to believe that he may have canceled the Tanai, and therefore the woman is considered Mekudeshet and requires a get to marry someone else, even if the Tanai was not fulfilled. The Ravid in a Hasaga here disagrees and believes that canceling a Tanai must be done in front of Edim. Therefore, the case of Mekadesh al Tanai, the Kanas Stam, Kanas meaning Knisa l'chuppah, that is Nisuin, in which the woman requires a get, is only referring to Nisuin which was done in front of witnesses. The Ravid's reasoning seems to be the principle of Ein Davar She'Be'erva Pachot Mishnayim. Any act which allows a Kiddushin to proceed must be done in the presence of Edim. Recall that the Ravid relied on this same principle back in Perek Gimel to require Edim when the husband appoints a Shaliach to be Mekadesh a woman, even though appointing a Shaliach doesn't generally require witnesses. The Ravid clearly has a more expansive understanding of the rule Ein Davar She'Be'erva Pachot Mishnayim than the Rambam does. Continuing in Halacha Chaf Gimel, V'chein ha-mekadesh b'fachot mipruta o b'milve, v'chazar uva'al stam b'fnei idim, tzricha get, sh'al bila zo samach, lo ala otan ha-kidushin ha-psulin, chazakahi she'ein adam Yisrael ha-kshirim ose bilato bilat iznut, v'arei biado ata la'asota bilat mitzvah. A separate but related din. If a man is mekadesh a woman in an ineffective manner, like with something worth less than a pruta, or by extending her alone, which we learned in Parakeh is ineffective, and subsequently he has bia with her with witnesses outside the room, then we assume that he means for the last act to count as kiddushe bia, and does not rely on the kiddushim psulim that he did earlier. We have a general chazaka, a presumption, that a person does not engage in bia as an act of promiscuity when he can possibly make it an act of mitzvah. In this case, if the act of bia was not done for the purpose of kiddushe bia, then it is an act of znut, because the man and woman are not married. The original kiddushin were ineffective. So we can assume that this is not the case. Rather, they intended for the act of bia to be kiddushe bia, so that it can serve as a valid act of kiddushin rather than as an act of znut.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's perek of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.